Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm going to have some fun this morning, and I'm going to tell you a funny story about my work life and my career that I think that maybe that there's quite a few people in here that might relate to. In 2003, my life changed a great deal because first and foremost, I truly went to work for corporate America. And in many ways, that was a wonderful thing because corporate America brought me here. And here I've been now, and Tina and I, for over 15 years. But yet, working for corporate America is a little different than being self-employed or either working for a small company. Now, before I tell you this story, I want to make this very clear. I'm being specific. Not all corporations are like what I'm about to describe, okay? But in this particular case, it is the actual truth. I was working for a large flooring manufacturer at the time. And of course, there's what's called the corporate line that you are expected to hold, whereas the most important thing, aside from your own success, is the company. And that customers are a necessity, but not necessarily as high on the priority list, okay? Which, that right away kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But to move on, we're introducing a brand new product. Now, I'm not going to give you a seminar on flooring, but I'm just going to give you the distinction because it's important. Back 15, 18 years ago, there was a product that had been out for many years but did not sell well in Wisconsin. It was called engineered wood flooring. Okay, now the difference is that what most of you have in your homes is that three-quarter solid stuff where the species goes all the way through. Engineered flooring looks more like plywood with a veneer finish on top. Good product, but just not something that people could sell. So we had seminar after seminar after seminar to teach us how to sell this in a market that didn't want it. Okay? So we come to our trade show, which was in Wisconsin. It was actually in Wisconsin Dells. And I had a very good customer that I had known for years walk up and said, "What have you got?" Well, it was my job at that particular time to sell less flooring. And I started in with everything that I had learned on it. And they knew me well enough, and I knew them, that halfway through they started smiling, and then they started laughing, and by the time we got done, everybody was laughing because they knew I took that presentation right out of a can, that it wasn't me. They were good customers. They were a large dealer. And they said, "You know what? We'll try a pallet." So they bought a pallet of this flooring. Okay. Now, the end of this story is what I'm going to jump to because I 5 years later and two companies later, and that pallet of wood was still in their inventory and sold a piece of it. Its name was Texas Roadhouse. I'll never forget that. And I'd walk up to the front door, and they'd have a great big thing sitting right there, and they'd have about three or four boards on there to show everybody the color. 5 years later, and they're still trying to sell this flooring. Now, of course, it couldn't have happened in a nicer way because they understood the risk, so there was no animosity. But you can imagine how I got that every time I made a sales call, that should I back my car up because I'll put some of that on the back of my whatever I was driving at the time. That was one of the very, very, very few times that in a sales pitch that I put company before customer, regardless who I worked for, because that just wasn't the way I was raised. I couldn't put that type of thinking into words, but today I'm going to try to do that. It was some years after that I was given a good book to read, and those that know me well know that for me to sit down and actually read a book is really a test. But it was given to me by a gentleman who I didn't think read books at all. And he says, "You got to read this." So I did. And it was written by a salesman for salespeople. And in the story, he talks about his own struggles dealing with the same thing until all of a sudden, the light of faith came to him, where he started putting what he needed to put first to not only be successful in sales, but to be successful in life. Because when, let's say, face it, folks, you work straight commission, you got bills to pay. And it's not there, it affects everything. It affects your business life, it affects your home life, your personal life, your outside enjoyment, it affects everything. Everything. And it did. But in this particular case, he figured it out. Now, the end of the story is that he was successful, both financially, but in a different way, it was the journey and the difference that he made in people's lives along the way. This was not the company line. This was not the corporate line. It was his line because he knew it to be right. We have two tremendous stories today. Actually, all of them have words that you could just take and run with. There's so much here to deliver a sermon on today. But I'm going to narrow it down to this. Jesus' teaching was hard to accept because it was contrary to what the world taught. And in this particular case, I'm going to make the transition between that corporate line to the world line. How we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do, or who we're supposed to be to succeed in the world. At the risk of that changing who we are. And Jesus moved to put their mind on heavenly things. He spoke in such a way that confused and frustrated, that really tested their faith. And some did walk away. But others, maybe not completely understanding, clung to that idea that in Jesus was the word of life. And what Jesus was talking about was literally putting on the Spirit, putting on Christ, living and working in the Spirit. Putting that on so that the first and most important person in your life is your Lord, and then everybody else to follow. That's what Paul talks about when he talks about putting on the armor of God. It is that we put on each and every day, that regardless how tough the journey gets, the journey is bearable. That no matter how joyous the journey is, we know who to give thanks to. And it's through that armor that our words and our actions come, how we speak, how we respond. It literally shapes our life outside of here, in the world. And it's not out there just in a defense against what the world throws at us or what might come, because the psalmist said the righteous have many troubles. So this isn't a shield that stops the troubles, but this is an armor that does not allow the troubles to change us, to change you. Jesus said, "No one comes to me unless the Father chooses." And the Father has chosen each and every one of you. And to protect that chosen heart, he gives us Christ. He gives us the Spirit. He gives us his armor so that we protect that heart, that no matter what the world throws at us, we are who we are. We are God's, and we live in that. Because to live outside of that, there is no variable. There's no one or two or three stations. To live outside of that, we live in the world. And believe me, if you live in the world will change you. But if you live in Christ, you can always hold it where it needs to be. And in doing this is how we make a difference in the lives of others. Paul speaks about being ready to preach the gospel. Put on whatever footwear you need to be able to get out and do it. But being a member of the body of Christ, that isn't always our expertise. But Jesus' ministry, thanks be to God, came in more than just preaching. It came in action. And by putting on Christ, our actions in itself change the world we live in. This is the armor that through God's great gift, through the death and the resurrection of our Lord, through the love of Christ that we are given, to take with us each and every day, so that regardless where the journey ends, it does so through Christ. And knowing that when this journey ends, as there was life on the other side of death for Christ, there is life for us as well. That's the promise. That's the glory. Doesn't sound, I mean, when you stop and you think about that for a minute, that's hard for the world to understand. Okay, just as it's hard at times for corporate America to understand that the most important person is the customer. Not that the customer is a necessity, but that that's the most important thing. And the world doesn't understand that this too is the most important thing. That we put on Christ, that we live in and through Him each and every day. It isn't the corporate line. But I hope it's yours, because in it is life. Amen.